Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. Well, good morning, Zoomers. Good morning to those who are following this morning on YouTube too. It is good to have you with us, and we do warmly welcome you. If you are with us on Zoom, please remember to stay around for a social chat immediately after the service hosted by Rosemary. Now, Scott's Weekly, which is emailed out each Friday, has all the details you need to get you through your week, with our Zoom prayer meeting open to all on Thursday, and other details, of course, mainly of things that aren't happening this week because we are in lockdown again. In a few minutes, I want to share a video with the results of the creative challenge we've run on the last couple of days. Some fantastic contributions. Thank you to you all. So that is coming up in our service soon. You can look forward to seeing that. Now, for some people, lockdown hits harder than for others. How is it for you? Maybe it adds just to the daily challenges you're already facing, and maybe another layer of loneliness. We as a church are always looking out for ways we can help one another as a church family. And Rosemary Feathers is going to say a few words about a new way that we can maybe work together and help one another. So, Rosemary, it's over to you.
Thanks, Phil. In fact, I might have a couple of new ways, especially as things are looking a bit grim and we may be heading into a period of extended lockdown. Firstly, we can keep in contact with members of our own church family who live within 5 kilometres. When we are out and about for our 2 hours, we can drop a card in someone's letterbox or leave some home produce or even a bit of shopping. If you wish to get involved and learn who is in your neighbourhood, you could contact the office and we could let you know who are willing participants near you. We would never ever reveal contact details of anyone to anyone unless you consented individually all around. The second way is formation of single bubbles. Single bubbles are a way of preventing loneliness and providing assistance for those who live alone. I know some of the congregation have created these, which have kept them going during lockdown. A single bubble allows one person from another household to visit you and only you, even if you live further than 5 kilometres away. And ideally, if you've both been fully vaccinated. So if you would like to be part of a single bubble but don't know where to start, maybe we can help you make connections. So let the office know if you would like some assistance. And of course, stay connected by coming to church each Sunday, joining Bible study or prayer Zoom groups. And I can spruik the Thursday night Bible study at least, because I know we have a lot of fun, have made new friends and have very stimulating discussions and exercise our brains. Don't hesitate to ring each other up to say hello. If you're having difficulty, there's a whole church community network out there and may be able to help in some form, even if it's not in person. Nothing is insurmountable. Thanks, everyone. And now we'll sing our first hymn.
Please join with me in prayer. Lord God, as the psalmist said, great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Father, you are the ground of all being. You are the giver and taker of life. And we humbly call on you, Father, to spare our land, to spare our lives and our livelihoods from the spread of pandemic. Help us to keep our trust in you, to be calm in the face of all our anxieties. Help us to care for others with generous love as we seek to show the love of our Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you most of all that on the cross, your final word of judgment was spoken to all those who put their trust in the crucified one, that in that one final and complete act of obedience, the sins of all who repent are covered once and for all. Father, fill us with gratitude for that today, we ask in Jesus' name, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, as I said earlier, here we are. It's another week of beautiful lockdown. And I don't know if that means we're getting good at it or we're just slowly being ground down. But either way, the thought came to me on Friday that I should put out a creative challenge in an email to everyone on our Scott's email list and just see what happened. And the results have been astonishing. We've been posting some of them on Facebook, and I've put together a little movie to show you some of the talent in our Scott's Church family that's emerged so far. So take a look.
peaceful. If peaceful was a colour, it would be a very light blue, as peaceful as a snowflake. If peaceful was a taste, it would taste like pear. It feels like a bed as soft as silk. If peaceful was a smell, it would be as calm as vanilla. If peaceful was a sound, it would be as light as a tick of a clock.
The scripture reading comes from John's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 16 to 30. So Pilate delivered Jesus over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Place of the Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, this man said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Amen. The Reverend Letha Hussius will now lead us in the pastoral prayer.
Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. Righteous Father, we praise and give you thanks for the gift of life and for the grace of gathering in your presence this day. We give you thanks and proclaim that you are the Holy One, the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Your beauty and majesty are beyond description. We thank you that on this day we join with all those who worship and confess you as Lord of Lords and King of Kings from generations past and present, and with all the angels that sing in heaven of your greatness and splendor. Heavenly Father, we praise and give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the price he paid. Christ is the resurrection and the life, and death holds no power over him. We invite your Holy Spirit to move freely amongst us. Come, O Lord, and dwell in each of our hearts. Equip us, challenge us, comfort, teach, and inspire us as we learn more about your word and your precious ways. Lord God, as we gather on Zoom this morning, we remember those who are not with us today. For those who are sick or those suffering from COVID-19 in Australia and the world, we ask for healing and strength. We pray for containment of COVID-19, particularly in New South Wales, where new cases of the Delta variant are on the rise. We pray for Victoria and Queensland as well, as we are currently in lockdown. We pray for strength, patience, wisdom, and protection to the people facing hardship due to lockdown. Have mercy on them and us. Oh, our sovereign God, forgive the sins of your people and ours. Help them and us to have faith in you, our restorer and divine healer, Jesus Christ. May vaccination be rolled out equally, quickly, and safely to all people in Australia and the world. We pray for speedy and full recovery for our friends in the church community. We remember Stuart Banks, Patricia Duke, Max Griffiths, and Marilyn Manane. We remember those away from us and those in the aged care facility, and we ask for your blessings to be with each and every one of them. We pray for those who mourn their loved ones. We remember Shirley Agar, who mourned for Ian's passing, and as well as Lillian Chua on the passing of Fred Chua yesterday. We ask for your comfort, strength, and peace to be upon them. Lord of the Church, thank you for the gift of the Church, a community of your children that you have gathered together to worship, serve, pray, and love, and give us strength to live as ambassadors for you in the world you created. Bless your church in the world and protect your church from attacks and persecution. We pray also that you would bless God's church and its constituents, ministry, vision, and mission. And we ask that your word be clearly and faithfully proclaimed in your church, and that through it, we would be challenged, encouraged, and changed. Lord God, please unite and help us to live and love together in a way that brings glory to your name. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Friends, if you've been here at Scott's in the last few weeks or with us online, you might be aware we've been working our way through a teaching series we've called The Best Things Jesus Ever Said. Because you're probably aware that Jesus is famous as a master of the zingy one-liner. He didn't write any books, he didn't lead an army, but so many of the things that he said have been passed down through the centuries. And as we bring the series to a close with part four this morning, it's fitting, I think, to look at the famous last words of Jesus before he dies on the cross. Although significantly, at least from the point of view of a convinced Christian, they are not actually his last words at all because of this thing we call the resurrection, when he had plenty more to say. And so these are his famous dying words, in his case uniquely, which aren't his last words at all. Unlike Marie Antoinette, who apparently stepped on her executioner's foot on her way to the guillotine, her famous last words, "Pardon me, sir," or at least the French equivalent. And of course, she hasn't been heard from since. Or Sir Winston Churchill, whose last words were, "I'm bored with it all." And he never spoke again. So these are the dying words of Jesus, but not in any way his last words. The dying words of Jesus are the words, "It is finished," which is in fact in the original Greek just one word, tetelestai. It's an extended form of the word telos in Greek, which means end or goal. And in the way Greek works, you add a prefix to show how extended the impact of the word is, how extended it is in its tense. So to emphasize, to amplify, you repeat the first syllable, telestai, finished, tetelestai, emphatically, well and truly, now and forever, completed. And that's the word he said. The goal is completely reached. The end has been completely achieved. It's a sentence in a word. In fact, it's a sermon in one word. It has been and completely remains finished. It is really, extensively, long-lastingly, completely finished. It is so finished that it's forever going to stay finished. It is finished once and for all. Tetelestai. That's his final word before Jesus bows his head and, we're told, gives up his spirit. And it's worth counting, I'd argue, among the best things Jesus ever said. In fact, I'd put it right at the top of the list. Although the question is, what's he actually talking about that's finished? Not so much his life. It's not as if he's saying, "I am finished." Besides which, I'd argue he's already made a pretty strong claim that he's planning to be back. In fact, if you step back to verse 28, a couple of lines before, it's clear there that there is something bigger on his mind as he asks for the drink. Take a look again at the words in the reading, John 19, verse 28. "Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.'" Which seems an odd thing to say at first glance. But the soldiers there, to make fun of him, to mock him, bring him bitter vinegar to drink, which is somehow, we're told, fulfilling scripture. Now, to get an idea of how that may be, step back with me to the night before. As Jesus is arrested in the garden, you can read it later in your Bible in John chapter 18, or you may well know the story. As Jesus is arrested in the garden and Simon Peter pulls out his sword to fight back, Jesus stops him because he says there is a drink ready to drink. It's John 18, verse 11. Jesus says to Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" He says, "Let them arrest me. Let them take me." He says, "It is going to be a bitter cup, but it's all in the Father's plan. So I'm going to drink it." Now that takes us back to the words of the prophet Jeremiah about a cup and a sword, which are the words, I think, that he's saying are now being completed and fulfilled on the cross. And yet the way Jesus is going to complete Jeremiah's words is flipping them and inserting himself in Jeremiah's words in the place you would least expect. Now, I've noticed an interesting thing with our grandkids. If you've got grandkids yourself, you'll be familiar with the Bluey phenomenon, finally a kid's cartoon that adults can watch. But the thing that I've noticed is this. Rosie, aged eight, the big thing when Bluey comes on, and in the opening song, all the main characters come up on the screen. There's Mum and there's Dad and there's Bluey. They're a dog family if you haven't seen it. And little sister Bingo. The big thing is all the kids are arguing over which character they're going to be today. And Rosie takes charge. And Rosie is saying, I'm the Mum. And Stella, you can be the Dad. And Georgie, you can be Bluey. So it's all about identification, identifying with a character in the narrative, which I think all good literature, in a sense, invites you to do. But in Jeremiah 25, it happens with Jesus in a surprising way. Here's the surprise. It's a passage all about the cup of God's wrath, the cup of judgment. That's why it's so bitter. And God says to the prophet Jeremiah, take from my hand this cup filled with the wine of my wrath, and make all the nations I send you to drink it. This is a cup of judgment. This is a cup of God's judgment on all the nations, which is going to come on them by the sword of battle. And so Jeremiah takes the cup and he pours it out and makes the nations drink it. Egypt, Uz, Gaza, the kings of the north are thrown into bloody battle with nowhere to hide, because God's thundering judgment is about to be poured out like a bitter cup upon them. Now, that's the prophet Jeremiah, a cup of judgment, a sword. It's going to come on all the kingdoms on the face of the earth, on every person near and far. They are the ones who are meant to be drinking the cup of God's judgment. Now, keep that little story in mind. And choose a character. Who would you rather play in that drama? Jeremiah, maybe, pouring out the wrath of God, his righteous anger at sin. God himself, the angry one. Well, friends, Jesus does the reverse. He steps into the picture in the place of the world under judgment, and says, take me instead. I'm going to drink the cup. They're in the garden, remember, Peter draws his sword to fight, and Jesus says to Peter, put your sword away. I'll drink it. The cup of God's judgment that was meant for everyone else, the Father has given it to me, and I'm going to drink the bitter wine myself. I'm going to drink it down to the very dregs, this judgment that is due for the sins of the world. And instead of them being made a ruin and an object of horror, a scorn and a curse, instead of them facing the fierce anger of the righteous judgment of God, I will. I'll be ruined and scorned instead. In other words, instead of us, instead of you, instead of me. And so, as you read on, having been unjustly accused, having been flogged and wrongly convicted by Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea, having been rejected and mocked by the leaders of Israel, having been crowned with thorns, having been spread-eagled and pinned with railway spikes on a rough-cut wooden frame and hoisted on public display, so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus says, I'm thirsty. We're fulfilled, by the way, is again that same Greek word as finished, completed, telos, that is about to become his final word. And they soak a sponge in sour wine vinegar and they put it on a stalk from the hyssop plant and they push it to his lips. And then Jesus says the word, tetelestai. It is finished. I reckon the best thing he ever said. In the late 1890s, Bernard Grenfell and Arthur Hunt were digging through an ancient Egyptian rubbish pile. They were archaeologists, and they came upon a pile of ancient papyrus documents, not so much fine literature like the classics or religious literature like the Dead Sea Scrolls, but the sort of ordinary papers you might keep in your kitchen cupboard for tax time and throw out every 7 years. Papers from everyday life. There were some love letters, some accounts, and a pile of receipts. And it turns out that very commonly on receipts, when the account has been paid, there is a Greek word that they scribble across the top. The word tetelestai. That last word Jesus says from the cross. It is finished. Fully paid. Your account with God, your debt, paid in full. Which means, you see, that when you turn to Jesus, when you call on Jesus, when you say to him, take me under your wing, when you stand in the shadow of the cross, there is nothing more you need to do because you've been paid for. It is finished. And when you're thinking, perhaps, I hope I've been good enough, or I hope I've done enough, or I hope I've been pious enough, or I hope I've prayed enough, or I hope I've given enough. The answer is always, well, no, I haven't, but Jesus has for me. And he says, tetelestai, paid in full. And the Father looks at him and looks at you and says, tetelestai, paid in full. Which, of course, is why the news of that has always been called gospel. Good news. When he's drunk from the bitter cup, when he's been scorned, disgraced, and shamed, Jesus finally says, it is finished, job done, and bows his head and gives up his spirit. And they are the best words he's ever said because, you see, God is satisfied. And that was the plan all along. I wonder, what do you think in your bleaker moments? What do you think it would take for God to be satisfied with you? In the light of your failures, in the light of your unimpressiveness, in the light of your imperfections, what would it take to get to the point where God could look at someone like you or someone like me and be totally and completely satisfied and say, paid in full? See, if you have put your faith in Jesus, if you have clung to that, if you've come to the cross and understood that all of that is for you, the incredible truth is God is completely satisfied. And that's guaranteed. You think more is needed? There's more to pay? You think maybe you'd need to add a little bit more and top it up? You think you have added a little bit more and topped it up? You know, before the Protestant Reformation, the Roman Catholic Church taught you could never know if God was satisfied. And so you would have to sacrifice the Mass over and over and over again and go through the same rituals over and over and over again. But then as the Reformation started recapturing the significance of what's happening at the cross, people like Martin Luther started reading Romans and reading the book of Hebrews. And it all became crystal clear. There is nothing more to offer. In fact, it's a heresy and an offence to try to do that, especially not the Mass, where they say Christ is re-offered in the bread and the wine, because God is already satisfied at the cross at huge cost. And to try to add to that, they realised, was blasphemy. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And by his will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, those priests at the temple, they stand and perform their religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. One sacrifice for all time. Do you see again why Jesus says it is finished? And why you can say the same? And you can say, I can stop looking. I can stop fearing that I haven't done enough because it is finished. And I'm trusting and I'm resting right there. I want to put it to you this morning with respect. That if to this point you haven't really taken any notice of that, maybe today is the day you should. In the privacy of your own home. That if to this point you've been holding off responding to that, maybe today is the day you should relent. Repent. I mean, why hold out any longer on an offer like that? Why not make today the day you say to the Lord Jesus, thank you for paying everything for me. So from this point on, I'm yours. And for the first time, maybe really understand why it is finished is one of the best things Jesus ever said. If you have come to that point this morning, or if you'd like to know more about it, if you'd love to get to the point where you're free from anxiety about where you stand with God, why not drop me an email or give me a call afterward? I'd love to catch up and chat some more. In the meantime, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that great gospel news that at the cross, it is finished in what Jesus has done and nothing more is needed from us. Father, help us to fix our hope and our faith there and in that to find comfort in difficult days. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final hymn is called Man of Sorrows, and I want you to pay particular attention to the words of verse 4 as we listen and maybe sing.
Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was was he to die? It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a
friends, thanks for joining us online today. There's been a nice little group gathered on YouTube, as well as those of you with us here on Zoom. If you are on YouTube, do take the time to leave a comment, join the live chat there. And if you're a Zoomer, stay on the line and join in with Rosemary for our online catch-up time. Thanks to Monty for the tech support this morning. Thanks to Rosemary, who is running some controls from her side too. Thanks to those who contributed to the creative challenge, especially Eleanor for the fabulous poem. I thought that was just terrific. If you do want to see that video again, you'll find it on our Facebook page and our YouTube channel as well. They'll be there in a little while. And keep those creative contributions coming in. I'd say we'll be doing this again next week and there'll be space for another creative video. So keep it coming, folks. But for now, let's close with the benediction. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be upon us and remain with us forevermore. Amen.